How you going? Ask me in an hour. Alright, I'll just open with prayer anyway. Dear Lord, we just thank you that you're with us and that you're guiding us. And we just thank you for your Son Jesus, Lord, and the power that he gives us to live in this world as a reflection of you and the hope that you give to others. Right. So today I'll just be preaching on Titus 2:11 to 3:6. The letter from Paul to Titus is set in a place called Crete. It's described in that little foreword of one of the Bibles at home as a place where people use lies and deceit to achieve their own ends. That's where individualism was the most important. It's as Derek explained it as well, it's kind of like Lightning Ridge in the middle of nowhere where criminals go to hide. So I'll just start with reading. We'll just read it all the way through, and then we'll just work through a few points that stood out to me as I read it, and just a bit of what's been challenging me lately. If you'd like to follow along, so Titus 2:11-3:6. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. He teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-control, upright and godly lives in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke all authority. With all authority, sorry. Do not let anyone despise you. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and to authority, and to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slam no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility towards all men. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of our righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour. So I think in my journey lately, I've felt like I've been really challenged by God in how do I project myself as a Christian, and how do I put myself into culture today? How do I encourage people and love people, both the people I agree with and the people I don't agree with? And I've heard it said before, am I a thermostat or am I a thermometer? Do I regulate the temperature or do I just read the temperature? Another way of putting it is, am I adding to the chaos of the world today, or am I contributing to the healing? I think as Christians, we're called to contribute to the healing in society. That's about that. As Jesus did, he came to heal, to purify, to redeem us. So the first thing that stood out to me as I read through this was the idea of godliness. It's probably been something that I've always struggled with because as I go through my life, I always come back to my works. So the instance that I started to look at godliness in this verse, I started to think, am I a godly man? What do I do that makes me a godly man? What are my works? What are my actions? And I'm actually looking at it from the wrong way. I started to look at it as, what can I do to achieve godliness? And then the next part that challenged me or that caught my eye was, where Paul says to Titus, how can we encourage and we can rebuke people with all authority? And then, so the question came to me, so As a godly man, how can we encourage people or rebuke people? And can we do it without it? Can we really rebuke, can we really truly encourage people without Jesus, without that godliness inside of us? So I think to define godliness in a better way than in our works would be to say, to be godly is to be set apart, is to desire God and His will in our lives. To paraphrase it a bit there in Titus, it says that Paul says that He purified and redeemed us so that we would be His and eager to do His will. So to be godly is to want to do God's will, to want to live in a way that is pleasing to God. And how does this happen for us? First of all, we have to be saved by Jesus. We have to be washed clean by Jesus. It's by His works in our lives that our works become a reflection of Jesus. Yeah, so then the next part that really stood out to me was I'll read it here from Titus. It's 2:15. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. I thought I understood despise, but I decided to get a bit of a definition of it here. Despise or to scorn, they're quite similar. It's to consider a person or thing not worthy of noticing or taking interest in. Which is probably quite the opposite of how God feels about all of humanity. He's actually made the step of sending His Son to die for us. He despises no one. His love is for everyone, and there is no discrimination there. It's something that I think we all struggle with, and I definitely struggle with, is projecting that love that Christ has for me onto others at times. So when we encourage people, and both when we rebuke people, when we call people out, we must be doing it from a heart that comes from Christ, not from a heart of our own self-righteousness. If we're coming to it from works and our self-righteousness, we don't cause people not to despise us. We cause people to despise us as Christians, as self-righteous know-it-alls, people who are above or think they're above because of their actions. But it's actually not by our actions that any of this happens. It's through Jesus. Jesus, He's bigger than us and His ways are better. So we must come to know that godliness comes through Jesus, purifying us, not our works. So that as we encourage or rebuke each other, it comes from the works of Jesus in our lives, not the works. As Jesus works in our lives, not the works in our work into our own lives. Alright. I just got a little story there about that came to mind when I was thinking about this was when I was a kid, me and my sister used to fight a bit. And every now and then I'd get really angry at it. And sometimes I might say something like, "Holly, you're just being so stupid." But I wouldn't say it that calmly. and then I would nearly instantly Holly would burst into tears and run into the house to Mum or Dad, hopefully Mum, and say, "Levi called me stupid." And I would come into the house and I'd say, "No, I didn't. I said you're being stupid." And Mum instantly, "Levi, it's not what you said, it's how you said it." So as Christians, it's not what we say, it's how we say it. Or more so, it's where it's coming from. It's not what we're saying, but it's the heart in which it's coming from. Is it coming from a heart that's flowing out of the love of Christ in our own lives? Or is it coming from our own shame and our own feelings of inadequacies? Are we projecting our feelings onto someone else? At times I think people will get frustrated with that, and I think I do as well. And you get these thoughts in your head that maybe saying, "If I don't say it, no one will. It's my job to tell them how God feels about them and their actions. I'm God right now." And I think Paul hits the nail on the head and he reminds us of that straight away in 3:3-6 here. He says, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient and deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice, envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness of God and us, the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour. So let's remember, it's through Jesus that we're saved. It's through Jesus that true transformation and change have happened in someone's life. Not by our words, not by our actions, but by Jesus living out through us in their day to day. And at times when we encourage, but led by the Spirit. And then there'll be times where you need to call something out. And I think it's worth reminding ourselves and asking ourselves, going to Jesus and saying, can you help me have mercy? Can you help me have compassion? Is this your heart for this person? What is it that you would like me to say? Not what it is it that I want to say to this person. So that we can be a part of the healing and not a part of the chaos. I've got through this a bit quicker than I thought, but that's all right. So first, just to encourage everyone to let God work in your life today, in your relationships you're a part of, in your work life. How is it you're interacting with the people around you? A little bit more of the gospel and a little less gossip in our lives would be the goal. That's something I struggle with. It's not just the things we say to someone's face, but it's equally the stuff that happens behind people's back. To allow God to work in our lives in every area, both the seen and the unseen, so that we can project his love onto others once we have that love projected into our life. It's sort of a candle that can't be, the darkness can't hide. So I just encourage everyone as we go forward into the next weeks, and it's a pretty chaotic time in the world, just to ask yourself, in what I'm doing right now, am I adding to the chaos or am I contributing to the healing? And where's Jesus and God in this? I'll just close in prayer and love songs, I think. Father and Jesus, we just thank you for the work that you do in us. We thank you that it's through you and not through us that all good things come. Lord, we just pray that as we go forward that we might be a voice, that we might reflect, we might project your voice and your heart for people, both in our church and in the community, Lord, that we start to be a part of the healing. We just put all these things for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.